live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Yes, it is indeed Kevin Eustace. That's me. Hello, everybody. And we're back for more tales of the paranormal, supernatural, and everything ghostly and willy-like. What? Willy-like? You know what I mean? As in, like, you've had the willies put up here. I don't mean as in, like, as in, well, anyway. Swiftly moving on. It is indeed time for We Need to Talk About Ghosts. Because we do, don't we? Yes, I think we do. I think we can all agree we need to talk about ghosts. Now, it is, in fact, Saturday evening when I'm recording this. So it is, of course, still a Sunday sermon because you're receiving this on a Sunday. But to me, and everyone else in the world at this current moment in time in my life, it's Saturday evening. No, I'm not out dancing, I'm not out drinking, I'm not out having general debauchery, but what I am doing is sitting in the spare room slash studio and recording this. And the reason for that is because it's dark, it's windy outside, and I want to, well, I also had some time on my hands, and basically I thought I'd record this in advance. Now, there's a few things of note that I need to make you aware of. Yes, there is. Firstly, well, there's only one thing of note, really. We seem to be getting a little bit more activity in the flat in terms of ghostly things. Now, I need to do a little bit of research to see if it is this time of year, because I think it possibly could be. I don't know, though. I'll have to check. So let me tell you what's been going on. So I've been noticing, like, corner of the eye phenomena, or COTEP, as we all know. Take that off on your bingo cards. Yeah, upstairs, which is where our living room is because it's a duplex. The upstairs is the living room, downstairs are the bedrooms. So been sat on the couch a few times and seen something like running across, not necessarily the floor, which you could say, well, that's a mouse, run across like the wall, which has been pretty eerie to say the truth. And recording the last Patreon episode on Wednesday, I believe, just as we're about to start, thankfully we caught it on the recording, just as we're about to start, Becca says, oh, what was that? And thankfully it was her, the skeptic, yes. I said, what was what? She says, I've just seen something white moving across the floor. And I said, well, I've been seeing black things moving across like the wall and stuff. And she said, no, this was like a light. She said, it might have just been a light, but it was the middle of the day. So, you know, reflections are at a minimum. So, yeah, so there's that. Then Matt, our ever-loving admin help on the Facebook page, a long-time friend, in a podcasty type way, he got in touch to say that the last episode of The Dark Paranormal, there's a lot of bangs and noises that I don't address within the episode. And I explained to him that that's because I didn't hear them, but they were picked up on the episode. Now, also, he said, well, I thought that you would have picked up on them in the editing process, which kind of lifted the wizard's curtain in terms of how I edit, because I do it based on the sound files. Very boring piece of conversation for the next 30 seconds, but when you record audio and then you mix it down to edit, you'll get like a little, I'm looking at it now as I'm talking, there's like, you know, all know what a sound wave file looks like as it's getting recorded, like little up and down like lines. So when I record, because most of the episodes can be around half an hour in length, and we all have lives to lead, once I've recorded and a full episode, I don't then listen back to the full episode, because who's got time to do that, I ask you. What I do is I look at the sound files. I'll go to the last part of that particular file and press play, and it'll be me saying something like, and it was a ghost. And I'll pause it there. I'll drag it back so there's no breathing in it. And then I'll marry it up to the next part. And that's how you do it. So no, I didn't pick up on anything at the editing stage, because I don't listen back to the whole thing. I just listen back to the start and end of each recorded sentence. But I have listened back to it since. And yes, there are strange knocks, taps, raps, etc., which is quite concerning. But in general, there's been an overriding feel of just something being more present in the flat, shall I say. I've had the cat again. Oops, I've had the neighbour's cat. Sorry, you know, the neighbour's cat. Of course, I'm talking about the neighbour's cat. We don't have a cat. We're not allowed one. I've had the neighbour's cat sitting on the couch when it came in, as it wants to do, and looking over my shoulder and raising all its heckles and darting off, and behind me has just been the wall. So I've had that happen again. That's fun when that happens. And we've also had a few knocks and bangs in this room when we've been asleep of a night. We've woke up to them and convinced ourselves it's actually just the neighbours at 3 a.m, moving things around in our spare room. So that's where we're at with that. So I thought I'd let you know that. And also, I'm saying this because obviously it is dark. It is late at night for me at this point. And Beck is not in. She's gone out to see her family. And I'm kind of alone in the flat. And it's pitch dark outside. It's windy. You may pick that up on the recording. And it's been raining on and off. It's very eerie is what I'm trying to say. And I'm recording in a room which has had a little bit of activity in. So it's going to be a scary episode. If not for you, then definitely for me. Anyway, so that's that update out of the way. So if you do notice something, which I don't, because I've just informed you how I record things, let me know. In other news, tomorrow we're off to Bidston Hill, if the weather holds up, which is an area on the Wirral, which has been long associated with the paranormal, witchcraft, spooky stuff in general. And we're going to do a Patreon episode from there. And if, dependent on signal, we may even do like a bit of a live stream onto the Facebook page whilst we're there. It won't be very entertaining because you can't edit live and we have no idea what we're going to do there. But it should be at least funny. He says, hand on heart. Speaking of patrons, we do need to say thank you and hello to all of our new wonderful patrons. And thank you to all of our existing patrons too for help keeping the show alive. Cause you're keeping the show alive. That was a good tune, wasn't it? A German band, I think, called Ten Sharp. Anyway, so you're a fan of the show, clearly, because you're listening to it. Yes, and you want it to continue because you're still listening to it. Well, if you're willing to do so, you can actually help by becoming one of our patrons. Yes. Just $5 a month will get you an extra 8. Yes, 8 podcasts per month. We put out 2 a week as it stands. Sometimes me and Becca just shooting the breeze, having a bit of a giggle. They're guaranteed to be funny in places, boring in others. You know, that's just life, isn't it? But there is content is the key thing, people. Yes, just over $1 a week gets you 2 extra shows each and every week. And I think that works out pretty damn fair. And you're also helping us keep the lights on and keep the wolf from the door, as they say. Anyway, let's say thank you and hello to our new patrons. The guitar is indeed out. And let's do a little bit of a Beatles slash grungy sort of song for you guys. Yes. Yeah. I really wanna say thank you to 3 people who've made me smile. Teresa, Dulcie and Tammy. Not to forget Ava. Thank you. Thank you. End it on a 7th. That was an A7th for anyone keeping score. Thank you to you 3 wonderful patrons, and indeed to everyone who helps us keep the show afloat. Don't forget, if you want to become a patron, get all of those extra shows and find out what's going to happen tomorrow when we go to a haunted witch's hill. Yes, Bidston Hill. Then you need to go over to www.patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. There'll be a link in the show notes too if you think that that's too long. I think it's too long. So just click on there and go and support the show. Anyway, shall we do some Weekend Weirdness? Yes, I think we shall.
Weekend Weird.
Yes, it's that time of the week again where we look at everything that's weird and wonderful in the world. Now, here's an interesting one. I don't normally watch this programme, but there was a programme, or there is a programme in the UK that's very popular each year called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I'm sure they have an equivalent everywhere else. But basically, I missed my time in there, didn't I? But basically, what happens is a load of Z-list celebrities will go to Australia, to the bush, to the outback, and they will be put through a load of trials like eating insects and living raw, wild and stuff like that. And it makes for entertainment if you're into that sort of thing. I'm not personally. However, this year I may well be. Because due to our lovely friend the Naughty C Word that's taking over the world, they can no longer fly to Australia, so they have to do it here in Blighty, here in the UK. And they've chosen a haunted castle as the location where they're going to put up all these celebrities. Now, the castle is Gwrych Castle, or Gwrych, in rural North Wales. You may well know the name of that castle because me and Becca bloody visited it a while back. It's in Abergele in North Wales, where we go to stay in a lovely caravan sometimes. And we've been there a good few times around that castle. And it is very old and it's very decrepit. Apparently, one of the big ghosts, because, you know, there's a ranking system, one of the main head ghosts at the castle is known as the Welsh Woman in Black. And a medium called Helen Lawson warned that all of the celebrities could find themselves at the mercy of Winifred, the Countess of Dundonald. Yes. She says, if you see a tall, beautiful and elegant lady passing through the castle ruins, basically, run for it. She will definitely be watching. Dun, dun, dun. Now, what's good about this is that it does mean that this castle, which is definitely spooky and definitely haunted, I think, is going to have cameras on it 24/7. And I do genuinely think, not forget the entertainment part of it, forget the fact that you're going to have a load of, like, old kids TV presenters, old pop stars and people that you just do not give two tosses about in this programme. Forget about all that. What you need to remember is there are cameras on it 24/7. I do think that's going to be worth watching, at least the catch-up sort of episodes where they do a quick synopsis of what's going on that week, because I do think they're going to catch paranormal evidence on these cameras. That's my belief, because I've always been of the impression that if you put cameras in a haunted place 24/7 for a series of weeks, which is what they're doing, you will catch something. It's not like Most Haunted or Zach Bagans, where they go to a place that's haunted for 24 hours. Because the ghost could just go, who the hell are these? I'm not staying here. I think I'll go outside and have a croissant. But they can't do it this time around because the cameras are on all the time. So I would suggest watching this, because I do sincerely believe that in a matter of a few weeks, we may have documented paranormal evidence by a completely unexpected source. Yes, the source being crap TV, trash television, celebrity whatevers. But they may pick up something entirely supernatural. Exciting times. And that brings us to the end of this week's Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
Okay, and we're back. Now, silly voices aside, it's time to get down to some spook. Finally, let's get some ghost stories on the go, as they say. I just said I'd stop doing silly voices, didn't I? I don't think I ever will. Anyway, let's get to it. Our first story today comes in from Alicia Mendez. What a lovely name. And it's entitled, Stories About Dead People. Well, you couldn't be more on the nose with that title, could you, Alicia? And it goes like this. Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
My name is Alicia, and I only came across your podcast recently and have been binge listening at work. Thanks for keeping me entertained and spooked out during my work day. You're very welcome, Alicia. I have a few stories, or rather series of events, that happened before and after my grandparents' passing that I'd like to share with you. Please do. So this is Alicia's tale. It all started with my paternal grandfather before he passed away. His death was quite unexpected and the result of an accident during a hunting trip. In brackets, not the kind that immediately comes to mind. He and my father were driving in the mountains along a rough patch of road when the truck flipped off the side of the road. According to paramedics, he was killed almost instantly, as his side of the vehicle was crushed. This is all very tragic, of course, but what was unusual about this was what happened before. My grandmother would pack him a bag for his hunting trip, clothes and necessities, as they'd be in the woods for a few days. But this time, he told her not to worry about packing a bag for him. Family members aware of this after the fact have often wondered if he might have had some inkling of what was to come. My grandmother took his sudden passing very hard. She had a series of small strokes that left her unable to live unassisted, and one of my aunts and cousins moved in with her to give her full-time care. She started showing signs of dementia and often could be heard having low conversations with someone when no one was in the room. One night, my cousin's car alarm went off in the dead of night, waking everyone in the house. My aunt and cousin went outside to see what had set it off, but there was nothing there. They both went back inside, thinking little of it. The next morning, sitting at the breakfast table, my aunt asked who had gone into my grandmother's room that night, because the light had been left on. My grandmother couldn't get out of bed unassisted, so she couldn't have done it by herself. No one confessed to having been in there. Finally, they asked my grandmother, who said, quite matter-of-factly, "Jessie turned the light on for me. I wanted to know what was going on." Jessie was the nickname for my grandfather. My grandmother wouldn't live much longer after that, Her quiet conversations with my grandfather continued until one day she awoke crying, saying that Jesse had told her she wouldn't see him again until it was her time. Within a few months, she passed away after a brief stay in hospital. The day of her funeral, as I stepped out onto the front porch, I smelled jasmine in the air, despite the fact it was not in bloom. Thanks for reading and keep up the good work. Why, thank you, Alicia. What a story. What a heartfelt story. You know, it's interesting about the smell of jasmine as well. It's one of those flowers that is often associated with spirits and ghosts and ghouls. And I could Google it to find out why, but I'm not going to. I just think it's wonderful. Yes. I also have this little weird opinion or theory. It's a bit weird, so put your tinfoil hat on. But I do think that people who have dementia, occasionally they can, almost like a child, see the other side, if you like. You know, and this has come from someone who's like, my nan had dementia for 4 years before she passed over. And she would often have conversations with people who weren't there. And, you know, it's a terrible disease. And the person that it ends up being when they're riddled with dementia isn't the person that you know. And, you know, they've long gone. But it's interesting what's still there, isn't it? Anyway, thank you, Alicia. And if you've got any more stories like that, well, they don't have to be as sad as that. You know, they can be happy ones if you wish. Well, no, make them scary. But send them in, and anyone listen to, send them in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And I will read them out because that's how it works. It's a ghost story show. We know this by now. Anyway, let's have another story. And our next story is a follow-up story, which we do like, a good old follow-up story. And it's from Patrick Marshall. Now, you remember that he sent in the amazing story about working in theatres and tech guys and stuff like that and working in the Playhouse, yes. So he says, hello, Kevin.
Hello.
I don't know why I'm being so sultry with my hellos. I'll try that again. Hello, Kevin. Hello. Like I promised, here's the second part to my story. It takes place immediately after I left out of the side door from the Playhouse. As I left the theatre, I met up with my friend at the place where we were working at. I told him exactly what happened, just as I said in my previous story. He knew it was true since he'd also been at the Playhouse just as long as I had, and knew something was never really right with that place. He was looking through the tools and the space we were working in. He pauses, looks at me, and says we gotta go back to the Playhouse, we need something else. We drive back to the Playhouse, which was maybe a 10-minute drive. As we get to the front door, both of us just get a very uneasy feeling, but know that we have to go inside. We unlock the door, go inside. Again, we're the only ones in the theatre. Walking into the auditorium, there's a light reflection from out of nowhere. It wasn't the sun shining in, since the light was pink. Then, as we looked around, we saw a reflection of a person on stage in one of the windows from the set for the current stage that was being built. It wasn't either of us, since we were on the opposite side from where we saw the reflection. Instead of running like we should have, we sucked it up and walked up to the stage, and around the corner to the wood shop to grab the tools we needed. We both pretended we didn't see anything. We come around again, look up, and see there's a light on in the booth where the light and soundboard are stationed. That was our last stop on our way out, since it was by the door. We both go up the ladder and look around. It was the work light that was on. This was the light that we had seen earlier in the reflection in the window when we got there. The question remained how it was on, since the power booth was off, turned off by the main breaker, as it always was. Needless to say, we turned off the light, walked out of the front door, locked it and left. I wish I could say that was the last time I went in there, but it wasn't. Regards, Patrick. Patrick, you need to tell us more about this theatre and more tales of the woe which ensues when you walk through those bloody doors. That is a great little story, and I love the sound and the idea of haunted theatres because, you know, is there anywhere else other than hospitals maybe and churches? Well, there's quite a few places actually, Kevin. But, you know, anywhere where you're going to get a gang of people in who are experiencing emotion, highs and lows, and people on stage, some of whom die on stage, yes. Not just metaphorically, they actually die, yes. And then they go on to haunt the theatres. Lovely old gothic-y theatres. Yum, yum, yum. Eat it up without butter. I love those sorts of stories. So if you have any more of them, send them in. Yes. Shall we have a midpoint? Yes, I think we shall. Thank you, Kevin. You're welcome, Kevin. And we are here. We have arrived. Put on your German clothes and your disco boots, for we are having a German disco party. Bunty, 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 ein, ein, ein. I don't know what that means. Probably yes, yes, yes. No, that's Ja, of course. Ja Rule. I wonder if Ja Rule, the rapper, means yes, rule in German. I don't know. We'll have to find out. How are you all? I hope that you're all fantastically doing well. We're getting towards the spookiest season of the year. My favourite time, your favourite time, because you listen to a ghost story podcast. Yes, you are. And I'm very excited about it all. I hope we have the best. Well, we need something good, don't we, after this year? So I'm hoping we have the best time ever when we go to do our Halloween special at Undisclosed Location. That location is a haunted hotel on the island of Anglesey. Yes, a very mystical island in Wales. And as I said previously on previous shows, I've been there before with Becca. I recorded a load of paranormal audio, sadly, which I lost when I lost my phone. But we're going to go back with loads of setup. We're going to have a trail cam. We're going to have this app that I've got on my phone, which records both audio and video whenever something happens. So that's exciting. So yeah, we're going to see what takes place. It's going to be bloody exciting, and it's going to come out in the week prior to Halloween as the Halloween special. I'm sure we're all excited about that. Don't forget, guys, if you do want to find out what happens tomorrow when we go to the witchy hill known as Bidston Hill, then you need to become a patron. Go and sign up to Patreon. That's in the show notes. And if you can't give to Patreon, you know, it is where we are at within the world. You know, people are losing their jobs left, right and centre. So don't feel bad if you can't. Just go and leave us a review. That's absolutely free. Yes, free as a bird, as John Lennon would say. I've drank too much coffee today. I think we can all agree that's definitely the case. I shouldn't be drinking coffee this late at night, but I am still. I won't sleep tonight. Nothing to do with the paranormal. To do with caffeine intake. Yes. And possible heart attacks. Yes. Anyway, none of this is scary. Shall we get back to some ghosts? Yes, I think we shall. And we are back. Hooray. And we have more supernatural spooky tales for you, because that's the point of the show, as I keep reiterating. Yes. Now, our next email, I'm very happy and excited to read, because it comes in from a lovely lady by the name of Gwen. Now, Gwen is 13 years of age. Yes. And it now automatically makes me think, have I swore in this episode or been rude? Because I hope not. But if I have, I do apologise. But this is from Gwen. Now, I happen to know that Gwen, I believe, is Robin's daughter. And they're two wonderful people. So I'm very honoured to read out Gwen's story. And Gwen, you know, I'm not going to patronise you over your age. It's very mature of you to send in such a well-worded email. It's written better than many adult emails that I receive. So well done, Gwen. I think we can all agree. Anyway, this is Gwen's story. And it's called, by the way, Ghost Nightmare. Yes, it is. Let's see. Hi, Kevin Becker. Hi.
Hi.
My name is Gwen, and I'm 13, and live in a very old house that's about 120 years old, and I thought I'd share my spooky experience with you. Why, thank you, Gwen. Here we go. It started off with me lying in bed, trying to fall asleep at around 12:25 a.m. It was difficult to go to sleep because it was a windy night, so my curtain kept flying up and wind kept blowing in, making my nose cold. I looked at my window thinking about closing it when I realised it wasn't the wind blowing up the curtain, but a man was holding it up. He was grasping the curtain with a large gloved hand whilst looking out of the window into the dark night, his dull purple and green eyes reflecting off the glass staring back at him. He was wearing a long dark top coat, a shiny black top hat and black leather gloves, and he was carrying a doctor's satchel. While concentrating on the darkness, he placed a hand on my ankle. It seemed to be an accident, as though he was trying to put it on the bed, but once in contact with my ankle, he squeezed until it felt like my ankle was turning red. I reached over to the nightstand for my phone as discreetly as possible and texted my best friend Willow. In brackets, she's the most paranormal person I know, so I thought it would be a good idea. He didn't seem to notice, and neither Willow nor I knew what I should do, so I turned off my phone, covering the speaker so the click noise wouldn't be so loud. The man dragged his feet over to the side of my bed and began pressing on my chest. I could no longer move, but I could feel my lungs deflate as he pressed harder and harder, covering my mouth, leaving my nose as my only source of air. But because the cold wind had been blowing, my nose was stuffy, and I could barely breathe at all. After laying there for a few more minutes, he let go of my mouth and his hand fell away from my chest, whilst I gasped for air. He spun on his heels and began walking toward my desk, but instead of turning to go out of the door, he walked straight into my desk and disappeared. After a few minutes of laying on my bed in shock, I got up to tell my mum what happened. But when I passed my mirror, I stopped in my tracks to see him behind me, tipping his hat and patting his doctor's bag. I turned around to look at him directly, but saw nothing. I could feel my face drain of colour when I realised he was just hiding, and he was still in my room. I sprinted to my mum's room and woke her up and told her everything. The next day, she lit some sage and walked around the house, in brackets, making sure to get the corners, and told me he wouldn't bother me again. The next day, I had a dream of him waving goodbye with his gloved hand, and I haven't seen him since. Thank you so much for reading my story. My mum and I love your podcast and listen to it whilst painting my room together. If you have any ideas of what could have happened, please share. I know it wasn't sleep paralysis because I still have the text to my friend. I'd really love to know your thoughts on it. And that's from Gwen. I was going to say bloody hell then, if I'm being honest. But I'll say it anyway, you know, we're all adults here, except for Gwen. Sorry, Gwen. Bloody hell, Gwen. What is going on there? Because you're quite right in what you say in terms of it's not sleep paralysis if you can move, grab your phone and text someone. So that rules that out. And have you been visited by a good old trope, the Hat Man? You'll have heard, if you listen to the show, as you clearly do, of the Hat Man in many other episodes. He seems to be some sort of deity that goes around, or entity, if you will, that goes around. Sorry, there was a tap there. And now I'm scared. Well done, Gwen, you've scared me. No, that goes around and haunts many people, the Hat Man. Yes, so have you seen him? I don't know. If any listeners have any suggestions as to what Gwen will have encountered there, then do let us know. Yeah, it's interesting because some of what you say sounds like old hag syndrome, doesn't it? Where, you know, it is combined with sleep paralysis, but it's often accompanied with the inability to breathe, like something sitting on your chest. So could it be old hag syndrome? I don't know. Again, you normally can't move, so you definitely can't grab a phone and text your mate. So I don't know. Also, the fact that you dreamt of him waving goodbye doesn't necessarily seem that evil. So I don't know. Interesting. Keep us updated, Gwen, with any further happenings. Hopefully he's going to leave you alone, though, so maybe don't get in touch, because if you do, it means that he's back, and nobody wants that now, do they? But thank you, Gwen, for sending in such a well-written story and tale. Not a story, a tale of your experience. Yes. Thank you very much. Anyway, shall we have some more? Yes. Our next and final story comes in from Debbie, and Debbie writes, "Hi, Kevin and Becca. Hi." Becca's turning into a creaky door. Ooh, that's spooky, isn't it? She says, "The enclosed story is true. It happened to me. It has been read out on other podcasts, so I'm only sending it to you for interest, as you said you were doing a dark episode on psychopomps. I hope you find it interesting." Now, I've read this, and I am going to read it on this podcast too, because it's bloody great. So if you have heard it on other podcasts, then Yarbu sucks to you, because you're going to hear it again, because it's great. And some people won't have heard it. So here we go. She says, "As a nurse of over 40 years, I have a few others about death." Then Debbie, send them on in. Yeah? We're all about death here. We're pretty grim. Okay, so this is Debbie's story. "I am one of those few people who frustrate believers. Loads of stuff has happened around me, but I haven't seen anything. I am a skeptic, but an open-minded one. I think that the sensitive people can pick up stone tape type reruns of things from the past, but we cannot interact or communicate with these spirits. I also think that this explains why ghostly ladies change colour, i.e. blue to grey, grey to white, as the tape disintegrates over time. Some stuff about myself. I am a nurse, completing over 40 years in the NHS. Now retired and loving it. I, like many nurses, intuitively know when a patient is going to deteriorate or die. However, that skill takes many years to develop, and you have to learn to listen to your intuitive self. Of all the stuff that's happened, the following is the incident that frightens me the most, and led to a lifelong interest in psychopomps. In 1976, I was a second-year student nurse, doing my psychiatric training at a large asylum, in brackets, originally over 2,000 beds. I was on night duty in a ward for older people, not with dementia, but with mental illnesses such as schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. The patients had all been in hospital for many years and were relatively healthy and content. The nurse I was on duty with was named Franks. She was an SEN from Jamaica. I had worked with Franks for 3 or 4 weeks now. She lived in the nearest big town and came in by bus. She would help me put the patients to bed after tea and give them sandwiches, etc. She administered the medications and then settled herself in an armchair next to the locked door with a blanket and slept. The ward was a rectangle with 4 rows of beds, and the far wall had 5 single rooms and in the corner a locked fire exit, with stairs up to a ward which was identical to ours but for men. The ward was lit by large globe lights on a dimmer switch. It was easy to see the far corners and all of the patients at all times. I sat next to Franks and read a book. I got up every 30 minutes to check the patients, changing any that had been incontinent or needed any other assistance. On my 3 o'clock round, I had checked every patient and, having washed my hands, sat back down with my book. Suddenly, about 10 minutes later, Franks, who had been sleeping for some 3 to 4 hours, sat up, grabbed my forearm and said, "Coleman, death is on the ward." Initially, I thought she was still asleep and or dreaming, but when I looked at her, she was wide awake and watching. I asked what she meant, and she told me that death had come for someone on the ward. I was terrified. I asked where he was, and she pointed and followed with her finger, but I saw nothing. As I questioned her about what he looks like, etc., a tall black figure, she told me, where on the ward he was, and at one point he was coming towards us up the nearest aisle. "We have to stop him," I stated, and she just looked at me and chuckled. "You can't stop death, child." She still had not moved from her chair. "What's he doing now?" I croaked. I was terrified and knew that she believed what she was saying. She was not afraid at all. Just matter-of-fact and respectful, she told me he was at Jane Sycamore's bed and was taking her with him. She pointed the reverse journey back through the locked fire exit, and when he had gone, she got up. She didn't go to the patient. She was so sure the patient was dead that she went to get the last trolley to lay out the body. I walked to the patient's bed, my legs shaking, and I nudged the bed to see if the patient would respond. But no, she was dead. She had not been expected to die. Other than being elderly, there was nothing wrong with her. I had spoken to her 15 or so minutes ago when I did my round. Let me say again, I saw absolutely nothing. Oh my effing jumping Jesus. Debbie, that is horrific and wonderful and beautiful and dark and mysterious and psychopompy and oh my God, it's Saturday night and I'm terrified. Wow, what a last story. That is just, I don't know what to say. I'm really chill. It's gone physically colder in here, I would think, because I've just heard a story about bloody death himself coming to take a soul. That was wonderful. If you've got any more of those, Debbie, I do sincerely want to hear them. I want to read them. I want everyone to know that death is a physical thing that goes around taking souls, because, oh my God, what a world to live in. Okay then, guys, that wraps it up for this week. We will be back on Wednesday, whether we don't need to talk about ghosts, because we're doing them every other week for now, until they disappear altogether into the ether. Don't forget, if you want extra shows, 2 extra shows each week, go and sign up to Patreon, the link's in the show notes. And failing that, we will see you on Wednesday for a We Don't episode. Don't forget, you can also go and listen to The Dark Paranormal. Yes, you can. Last week's episode of The Entity is doing really well download-wise. It's quite scary. And apparently, as Matt, our wonderful admin assistants on the Facebook page, has pointed out, there are little spooky sounds in it too. Yes, because we're experiencing more and more spooky stuff here, which bodes well, I don't think. Okay, so all being well, we'll see you on Wednesday for a dark episode. As I say, on the Patreon, if you go over now, you should... Oh, no, we still might be out at this point tomorrow. But eventually tomorrow, there will be a Patreon podcast about us going to a spooky witch's hill. Okay, in the meantime, and in between time, look after yourselves and each other. Tatty bye! Okay, guys. Hi, Kevin here. I've just been editing this episode, and... halfway through, so the reason I'm being relatively quiet is it's now 12:30 in the morning. And, I had a phone call off me mate halfway through reading out one of the stories, and I took it. Anyway, and I went out with that on that phone call so we could obviously talk to a friend. And I just want you to listen. The recorder was still running, and I want you to listen to what was picked up. Okay. Shitting myself. Apologies. But this is what happened anyway. One night, my cousin's car alarm went off in the middle of the night. This was an... fucking hell. Hello. Hey, mate, you okay? No, I'm recording the show. Right. Right, so part of me knows that I threw my headphones off and went and took that call. So therefore I could have knocked something, which could have then fell off. Yeah, simple as. But there's something... I'm rationalising it by saying it could just be part of whatever fell over. I'm going to say that that's a natural thing. And it's there's like fabric on this recording thing here. Okay, so maybe it's just brushed that, but there's another sound in it, which is either that or it's a breath. And I'm hoping it's fabric and it's just all completely rational. But here's that sound that is like a breath. I'm going to hire it up as well, hopefully. In fact, I don't think I'll be able to hire up because I'm nearly done with the editing. But this is the thing. Tell me if you hear it. I'll play it a few times. I'm hoping it's fabric. Let me put it that way. So there you go. I've just listened again. It sounds like that breath's there a couple of times. And I'm now convincing myself it's a breath. And I'm now shitting myself. But it sounds like the exact same thing. So maybe it's not breath. Maybe it's just fabric. I don't know. Anyway. So there you go. Last time I recorded a night, I tell you that much. Anyway, I'll speak to you through the week. Tell you bye.